Hey, hockey fans, welcome to the BCHL podcast brought to you by Subway. I'm Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications, and this week we catch up with the Nanaimo Clippers after their 2-0 start to the season. We also hear from first-year BCHLer Patrick Causey of the Prince George Spruce Kings. Causey chipped in 4 points last weekend, helping PG to 3 of a possible 4 points on home ice. And we track down BCHL alum Lyndon Stanwood of Simon Fraser University as he heads into battle with the Clan Friday night, facing the UBC Thunderbirds. But first, we get the viewpoint of longtime Clippers play-by-play voice Dan Marshall of 106.9 The Wolf in Nanaimo. The Clips went undefeated on opening weekend and have designs on returning to the top of the Island Division this season.
8 returning guys from last year, Brent, and I thought watching the team through their preseason and training camp that those guys had all made a step, and it really looks like that after albeit only 2 games of the regular season and a whole new defense core. And that was maybe the biggest question mark. Sean Giesen, the only returning defenseman out of the 8 players that the Clippers have on their defensive roster, but Jordan Worry, a WHL grad, has looked very good so far. The top defenseman at the TELUS Cup midget tournament, Jeremy Gervais, is a Clipper. He's been very solid so far, and then you add an NCAA committed player in Ben Perko to the mix and Colin Heinold. It's been a very sharp looking group defensively for the Clippers and a real nice addition very late, in fact the day before the regular season, in Cal Babich to the forward core. There's a veteran of more than 160 games in the Western Hockey League, a guy that I thought was really impressive with Coquitlam last year when he spent part of his season in the BC Hockey League. He had 3 points against Cowichan Valley on Saturday, so a lot of bright spots. I would say so far I didn't expect the team that finished 15th in goal scoring last year to have 13 in 2 games, but I've been impressed with the Clippers so far, and I did think they were going to be an improved team. We'll see how much.
Yeah, we're going to get to the offense in a little bit. I wanted to ask you first about the goaltending situation, which was split down the middle over the weekend. Austin Roden, who's a BCHL veteran, and I'm going to have to get you to help me out with the other guy's name because it's about a mile long.
Noah Featherston Haugau, and yes, he wants to be called Featherston Haugau. We asked him that when he first came to the Nanaimo, somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I think the longest name in the BC Hockey League this year, but it does look like a platoon system. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw something similar this weekend with the Clippers, that they want to go with both guys. They don't have that prototypical 20-year-old veteran that Mike Bandicamp likes to have as a clear number one guy. You might remember back a couple of years ago, Guillaume Dessel played almost every minute for the Nanaimo Clippers. It was great in that run to the finals when they took on Penticton. Evan Johnson was another veteran goaltender, a grad of the Western Hockey League in the 15-16 year where Nanaimo went to the 3-team round robin and ended up losing out there to Penticton, or to West Kelowna rather, and Chilliwack. So he likes to have a veteran guy. It's going to be a platoon system, I think. Both of those guys have been very strong so far. Exact numbers when it comes to opening weekend. And I think the number one spot is up for grabs, really. And what a great thing for two goaltenders that they both know they've got a chance to be the number one goaltender if they can get on a hot streak.
Yeah, I think the early season MVP candidate for the Clips is maybe the equipment trainer for getting all those letters on Featherstone Hog Gow's last on his sweater there.
JT Ward's been the new trainer and a really nice fit since coming over from the Alberni Valley Bulldogs. And you know what? It's always important that you have those people behind the scenes that can do a real nice job for you. And so far, JT's been absolutely fantastic, although busy in the sewing department.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, it's like you said, some of those people behind the scenes don't get a lot of recognition, but glad to hear it's working out that way. You know, we were going to talk about the offense, and Jamie Collins and Tristan Crozier look like guys that will kind of be leading the charge there. Who are some of the supporting cast around them that can help provide that secondary scoring?
You mentioned those two names, and both playing on different lines right now and played together last year. The Nanaimo's number one line for a lot of last year was Crozier, Collins, and Millette, and they're actually on 3 different lines this year, which is somewhat interesting. Collins is playing left wing on a line with Cal Babich on the right and Brad Belial in the middle, and Belial, an NCAA committed player to Bemidji State, and he's one to watch. 3 points so far in his early season. And then Tristan Crozier has some really good chemistry with Jake Harris, and the two didn't play a lot together last year, but they've pretty much been paired up since the beginning of the exhibition season, and they're playing with rookie Jack McNabb, who's a big body power forward on the left side. The Clippers think there that they have have two very solid scoring lines. And then I'm just going to throw one more name in the mix that could be an offensive surprise, and that's veteran Parker Colley, who came over from the Prince George Spruce Kings. He's looked very good early, scored in his first game, in fact, scored the Clippers' first goal of the season. So even though he's technically going to be playing down on line three, I think he might be a guy that surprises with some offense.
You know, the team on the opener against Alberni Valley, the Clippers found themselves down in the third period, but kept chipping away, got a greasy one, and wound up scoring a bunch in a row to overtake the Bulldogs and get the win. Does the team's resilience look like it could be, pretty stout here with the returning contingent that you talked about?
It's a great sign, obviously, and we were talking about it, myself and the Clipper coaches. Nanaimo did not have a comeback after 40 minutes in all of last season, and maybe that speaks to a team that finished fourth in the Island Division last year and didn't meet up to their expectations. Any time that you can come back after 40 minutes at any level, it means something, and it's been nothing but positives for the Clippers so far. They went 4-1 in the preseason. They're 2-0 to start the season. They really had to gut that game out, their home opener against Alberni Valley, and all those little experiences, they hope at the end of the day, are going to add up to the big experiences they're going to need to get to that push over the cliff, which is to get back to where they were two of the last 3 years, and that's very late in the BC Hockey League playoff picture.
I wanted to finish up asking about the team's roster. I think last time I looked, there's 22 players. Of course, the Clippers and all the BCHL teams are allowed to carry 23. Do you see anything happening that way?
The Clippers are very hopeful about a couple of different players that aren't here yet in that 17-year-old age bracket. Right now, Max Crozier is injured, and he's, I think, going to be a remarkable 17-year-old for the Clippers. They're really high on him. There's a couple of other players that they've had conversations with that could be a part of that mix in that 17-year-old age bracket, and they're really hopeful to be able to fill that spot, and that's why they're 22 right now, and they've got that extra spot, is because they don't have that 17-year-old committed to the program just yet, even though there's a couple of really strong irons in the fire. I'd expect that once you see the Western Hockey League season begin, maybe there's a trickle-down factor there. If not, then it might be plan B for the Nanaimo Clippers, because I do know at this point, as I said, they do have irons in the fire.
Dan Marshall, voice of the Nanaimo Clippers. Now we focus on Northern BC and Prince George forward Patrick Causey. Spruce Kings broadcaster Kyle Balzer spoke to the product of Long Island in New York State on looking comfortable in his transition to the BCHL. Causey put up 2 goals and 2 helpers in a tie and a win for the Spruce Kings last weekend.
You come to us all the way from New York, and you already put up some pretty impressive numbers in the first weekend up here against the Chilliwack Chiefs. Why don't you kind of just walk us through what kind of offense you bring to this team as opposed to, say, other forwards on the club?
I'm a smaller guy, but I bring a lot of speed, and I consider myself more of a playmaker than a shooter, so I love to make plays and set my line mates up. Luckily, I'm playing with two great line mates in Ben Brar and Dustin Manns, and they made it a lot easier for me.
Now, how did you get hooked up here in Prince George? Obviously, it's a long journey from the East Coast all the way to Northern BC.
Yeah, so midway through the season, when Coach Alex even was in Alberni, he was recruiting me to go there. And then when he switched over to come to the Kings, he called me up, and I was about to go to a spring tournament in Boston, and Coach Mags was going to be there, Coach Maglio, and I sat down with him, had lunch, and he recruited me for pretty much the entire time I was there. And then 2 weeks later, I decided to come here.
Now, you're a Colorado College commit. You're going to be a Tiger in the next couple of years. And there are other BCHL players that are committed to the same school. There's currently 4 right now in that regard. What are your thoughts on being committed to them, and why did you choose that school?
It's an unbelievable school academically, and hockey-wise, they're unbelievable. They play in the NCHC, which is, you know, the top college division. They play all the best teams, so that was a big thing for me. I wanted to play against and play with some of the best players in the country.
So obviously, the Prince George Spruce Kings had a bit of a rough outing at the end of last season, losing in 6 games to the Wenatchee Wild, who were arguably one of the best teams in the league last season. Having maybe heard a little bit about it, what do you think the offense will be different this year as compared to what you've heard of?
So they have a bunch of, they have about 4 or 5 returning forwards who are really, really good. But I think we're a lot deeper than we were last year. We have 4 solid lines, and every player can, you know, score and make plays.
What can we expect for the season ahead in terms of yourself as a player and maybe pertain that to the to a team effort as well?
I think we're going to have a really good year. We have Coach Maglio has really prepared us really, really well for every game so far, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun and great year for us.
Thanks to Kyle Balzer for that interview with Patrick Causey in Prince George. In our final segment of the show, we speak to a BCHL grad in goalie Lyndon Stanwood, who's now at Simon Fraser University of the BC Intercollegiate Hockey League. SFU season starts with an exhibition game Friday at UBC against the Thunderbirds. Despite not being league rivals, Stanwood says there is still pride on the line in this battle of Vancouver area schools.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. There's always a little bit more when you know more of the guys that live in the same province or go to school in the same province than you. And, of course, you want to be the top team in the province. So there's always pride. I think a lot of it comes down to, because it's our first game of the season, it's a development for the team and us as well as UBC. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be that pride. Obviously, we play hockey to win. So we don't want to be just going out there and going through the motions either.
So with the season starting up this week, what's the first couple weeks of school been like for you in terms of what you guys have been doing on the ice and getting prepped for the start of the season?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of an adjustment. Of course, I've done this for a couple years now, but you end up getting into the in the flow of it. The first week isn't too difficult school-wise. The professors are just going through syllabuses and stuff like that, as well as our coach Mark's been pretty good about bringing us into the season, not getting us too excited right away and losing all of our energy right away. He's eased into it, and as school's progressed, hockey's also progressed, and I think it's been a good transition, especially for the new guys that are just getting used to university and playing hockey at the same time. It's definitely a big jump from playing junior hockey.
Now, I know SFU's perennially a pretty strong team in the BC Intercollegiate Hockey League, and everyone feels optimistic about their team at the start of the season, but, you know, giving an honest look at SFU this year, I mean, what do you feel like your guys' chances are, and what's the goal for the season?
Well, to start off, the goal is to win a championship. That's what the goal is for every year. I think we've got a really strong D core, good up front forwards, and well, hopefully the goaltending will hold through too. You know, I think we'll be good again. We seem to put good teams together year in, year out, and I'm just hoping that's another one this year.
On a personal note, I mean, as a goaltender, you're a guy that, you know, probably has to work hard on things like positioning and reading the play. You know, prototypically, it seems like teams at the highest levels are looking for really big goalies in the 6'3", 6'5" range. You're a guy that doesn't quite reach that mark. So what's important in your game?
Yeah, no, obviously, sometimes coaches get in their mind that a big goalie is the right way to go, but I think the best way to go is just being an athletic goalie that can battle through any adversity and situations. Me personally, I like to make sure that I battle hard. I know I don't have that much size, but I can use my speed to my advantage and try to play as big as I possibly can and take as much net as possible.
I wanted to talk again a little bit about your guys' schedule. I noticed you guys have some NCAA Division I games on the schedule for the end of the month, I believe, with some schools from Alaska. How excited are guys about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an awesome experience for us and the other teams as well, just to see what the hockey's like here in Canada at the university level. It's not only a great experience for all of us to go out there and play at the NCAA level, but it's a really good team bonding, and it's a great trip. We did it last year. It's a lot of fun. The Alaskas are a good team. It's a good challenge, and yeah, we look forward to it again this year.
What do you tell people asking you about the BC Intercollegiate Hockey League and how it compares to the BCHL? I know there's a lot of BCHL content in the BCIHL, so what do you tell people that are asking you about you know, the level of competition in your league?
Yeah, no, what I say is it's a league more of men than boys. There's a lot of guys that come and play from the BCHL in the BCIHL, and I think that the league is pretty comparable. I think that there's some very good hockey players. Some of them move on to play professionally, and the league's only getting better and better. I think it's a growing league, as I just said, and as I continue to tell the guys, that it's a great spot to be. You're getting a fantastic education as well as playing a very high level of hockey, and still get the chance to see a little bit of the world. We're traveling to Alaska and Arizona and different NCAA schools, so it's quite a good league. It's gotten a lot better over the years.
That's Lyndon Stanwood of Simon Fraser University. And that's going to do it for our show this week. For all the latest news and notes from the BCHL, visit the league website at www.bchl.ca and follow the BCHL on Twitter at BCHL Live. This is Brent Mutis. We'll talk to you next week.